And so with that, we're going to continue with the book of Jude. We finished our series on the life of Anna a little bit, as much as we could, to see why she acted the way she did. And so now we are going to continue to go through Jude. We're on verse 22 through 23. "And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy, with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh." And so, as we remember from this short little letter, one chapter long, this is mostly about false teachers that have crept into the church. This is mostly about those who have infiltrated into the church, like the fabric of a woven clothing. They have gone inside unnoticed, as we read in verse 3. "Beloved, I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation. I felt a necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which is once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation." So Jude is writing to almost sound a warning horn to contend for the faith, because the faith is being under attack by those who have crept in unnoticed and are polluting the church, the purity of the church. And as we've read in verse 12, "These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves." So they are damaging the love feast. They're damaging the unity of believers. They cause divisions, as we read in verse 19. "They are the ones who cause divisions, the worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit." So they cause this disruption, ungodly people, as Enoch calls them, seventh from Adam. They are ungodly people who do not know who God is, who are devoid of the Spirit. And so they come in, infiltrate the church to cause divisions. And if you've noticed, if you've read this letter, you've noticed a rhythm, a pattern that Jude likes to use. He likes to use threes. He likes to use the number three, for instance, the Trinity, or we read in verse 1, he says, "To those who are called, beloved, and are kept." He brought up the number three there. And for instance, in verse 2, we read, "May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you." And he's just a big fan of three. He's using three repetitively. And then in verse 5, 6, and 7, he brings up three examples of apostates, or those who have defected from the truth: Israel, angels, Sodom, and Gomorrah. Again, he uses the triad, the threefold effect. And then in verse 8, he again says those who defile the flesh, reject authority, revile angelic majesties. He's bringing up the number three again, threefold. And verse 11, we see the historical examples of apostates again. He brings up Cain, Balaam, and Korah. So he's a big fan of the threefold. And then we get to our text here. And he says how believers are to conduct themselves among these people, among apostates. And this was especially a challenging text for me to study, to preach on. Out of all the texts that I have had to preach on, this is the most challenging for me. Why? Because it reads differently in different interpretations, in different translations. We have a little bit of a different version. And a New King James Version, which I used in the beginning to preach from this book, it read like this: "And on some have compassion, making a distinction." Notice the pronouns, "some." "And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh." He's only used two times the pronoun "on some" and "others." While the NASB brings in the pronoun three times. And so it took me the longest time to understand why that was. And of course, I want to get the right version, and I want to preach on what's before the audience that I'm preaching to. And the Russian version has the same one that they preach, or the same interpretation, that's translation that's from King James Version. The twofold effect. And so I wanted to preach on that, but I read the Greek Bible, and the Greek says it in three times. Three groups, threefold. And so I want to be fair to the text, and so I'm going to stick to the NASB, which has it translated three times. And so you could ask yourself, why did that happen? Why is it in one translation? Why does it have two groups of people? And another translation, three groups of people. What's going on there? Well, it's just using different manuscripts. And ASB is using a lot more manuscripts to combine it. And so different manuscripts have the three effect, and other manuscripts have the two effect. And my conclusion is that since Jude is a big fan of the threefolds, this is the proper interpretation. This is the proper translation. This is what Jude went for. This is the closer to the original, if I were to make a decision, a distinction. And so he says, have mercy on some who doubt, and save others, snatching them out of the fire. And some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Now, before we get into this text, I want us to go back a little bit. I want us to see what Jude, what he calls us to do through the Holy Spirit. From verse 17 to verses 21, he was addressing the believer. He's addressing the Christians. Why do I say that? Because we read, but you, beloved, in verse 17. And in verse 20, again, he says, but you, beloved. So he's talking to the believers. He's talking to those who are in the church, who have been bought with Christ's precious blood. And so he's writing to them. So I want us to see what the Holy Spirit is teaching us, what he's telling us before we get to that. And so Jude has been exposing, again, like I said, false teachers just about throughout this whole letter. And now he tells us to remember. Remember the words of the apostles that were spoken beforehand. And so he's saying, remember their words. Remember, be fine-tuned, basically, with the scriptures. Be fine-tuned with the Bible. Know your Bible. Know what they have spoken, that when these things come, you will not be surprised. You will not think that God has lost control or God's not sovereign enough to control something. Everything is the way it should be. Just like we read in the book of Job. It took him as a surprise, but not God. It did not take God as a surprise. God planned it all along. God is sovereign. He's in control of the whole situation. It's been said that the devil is not his own devil. He is God's devil. He does his work. Even though he may not think so, he does God's work. And so we read, remember the apostles, the words of the apostles. Be fine-tuned with the scriptures, with the Bible. Then we read in verse 20, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. We read of sanctification here in these verses, that we are to build ourselves up. We are to work on ourselves. Before we go out into the world and trying to save somebody, again, it's all through grace. It's through us. It's not we that do the saving. It's God using us as instruments. But before we are used as instruments, we are to be sharp as a scalpel. We are to be fine-tuned. We need to be prepped. We need to be sanctified. We need to resemble Christ as much as we can. And it says, build yourselves up on this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. All these verses, 20 and 21, deal with us, are focused on us, so we would be sanctified, so we would be improved. And then he says in verse 22, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Only then can we go out into the world and do something, when we have changed ourselves, when we see what's wrong with us. And he says, have compassion. Have mercy on some who doubt. What does that mean? Have mercy. Because ultimately, God is the one who is to have mercy, right? What does it do if we have mercy on somebody? That doesn't do anything. So really, God is the one who needs to have mercy. But again, we are his instruments. We are his instruments. So we are to have mercy as well on those who are doubting. Have compassion on the weaker. Whether he is a brother who is in sin, we don't know if this passage here is talking to the apostates. But this could be a brother who's weak, who's in sin. And so here he's saying, have mercy on this person. Whether it's a brother who's in sin or a person who's amongst believers but hasn't taken that initial step of repentance. He's saying, amongst these kind of people, have mercy, have compassion, have grace for them. I like this illustration that I've heard one time, that when you're standing next to a blind man and he steps on your toe, it would be improper for you to get mad at him and yell at him and push him or, you know, whatever it is you do, because he's blind. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know that he stepped on your foot. He didn't see your foot there. And so that's the same thing with those who are amongst believers and unbelievers. Have compassion on them. Have mercy. Have grace for them. Be forgiving. Because we too were dead in our sins and trespasses, right? We too were dead. We too were deaf and blind, and the call of God was absent from us. While we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us, showing us mercy and grace. And so how can we show grace and compassion and mercy in the spirit that Jude is telling us? How can we do that? How can we show grace? Again, it could only be done when those who keep themselves in the love of God, who keep themselves in the love of God and who are, in fact, themselves kept by Jesus Christ. Only those can have mercy that Jude is in referencing here. And so now I want to ask us a question. Why is it important? Why do we have to have mercy and compassion on those who doubt? Why is this important? Why is he bringing this up? Because quite frankly, most of the time I've read this passage before, and I've read it quickly, and I did not even notice this verse. Have compassion. Have mercy on those who doubt. What does that mean? Why should we have mercy and compassion? Well, first of all, because God said so. Very simple. God commanded it. This passage, this text is almost, in a sense, has given us a command. It's a command to Christians. Have mercy on those who doubt. It's a command. God said so. And two, because we received mercy, and we too must show mercy. We read in chapter 5 of Matthew, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We have received mercy, and now it's up to us to receive mercy, to show the fruit that we have received mercy, and for the building up of the body of the saints. For the building up of the body, those who will be saved, to build and strengthen, to increase the kingdom of God. Obedience has always been the mark of true repentance, of true children of God. And so these passages, again, this verse 22, again, it almost is a mirror to us to have mercy. Can we have mercy? Do we show mercy to others? And are we obedient to this text to show mercy? Have we showed mercy? Have we showed compassion and grace and love? And obedience has always been the mark of true children of God. Whether you look at Abraham, David, or the prophets who obeyed his message, even though God said their foreheads are strong, they will not listen to you. And yet they still went forward because God commanded it. Obedience is the mark of a child of God. And the other side of that, disobedience, however, is the opposite mark. Whether you look at Adam, Eve, Cain, or Saul, or Judas Iscariot, disobedience is always the mark of the evil one, of the father of lies. And so we as children of God are also to have discernment. We are to have discernment. This passage is bringing our attention to discernment, that we are to discern how to have mercy and compassion, who to have mercy and compassion. It says, have compassion on some. Notice in the book of Acts, when chapter 3, verse 6, when Peter was speaking to the lame man, he was asking for money. And what would happen if Peter would have gave him money and he would have walked by? And yet he had discernment. And he says, I do not have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazarene, walk. They have discerned correctly that he needs the gospel. And that's what we also are to do. We are to discern, to have mercy and compassion. Discern how to address a certain problem. And so next time we will continue further with this passage, and we will discuss verse 23. May the Lord bless his word.